Blog Talk Radio.
Fog of Neptune comes a wascally rabbit, exploring the unknown, traveling the astrological landscape, visiting secret worlds, dispelling the English language. So put on your bunny ears and hop down the rabbit hole with your host, Mark Matheny.
Time to awaken. Mark? Mark? Wake up, Mark.
Are you like a crazy person?
I'm quite sure they will say so.
You've been fantastic, and I hope you enjoyed it. There is a point. Is there a point to all this? Let's find a point. Is there a point to my act? I would say there is. I have to. The world is like a ride at an amusement park, and when you choose to go on it, you think it's real, because that's how powerful our minds are. And the ride goes up and down and round. It has thrills and chills, and it's very brightly colored, and it's very loud, and it's fun for a while. Some people have been on the ride for a long time, and they begin to question, is this real, or is this just a ride? And other people have remembered, and they come back to us, and they say, hey, don't worry, don't be afraid, ever, because this is just a ride, and we kill those people.
Shut him up. We have a lot invested in this ride. Shut him up. Look at my furrows of worry. Look at my big bank account and my family. This has to be real.
It's just a ride. But we always kill those good guys who try and tell us that. You ever notice that? And let the demons run amok. But it doesn't matter because it's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace. Thank you very much. You've been great. I hope you enjoyed it. London, you're fantastic. Thank you. Thank you very much.
False bottom reporting.
Okay, apparently I had a, didn't have a plugged in all the way. So.
If those of you in the chat room can hear us, let us know.
Okay, there looks like we're good.
Okay, very good. So we have to start over.
Okay. Oh, again. Reiterating, the Uranus station is coming up.
Just go backwards.
Okay. Okay. All right. Cool. Okay. So now that I am plugged in, so to speak. So crazy energy out there today, as we've already demonstrated. Iggy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Mark. How are you? That Victoria Fuzzbottom, she sure sounds hot.
Yes, she does. So does her cousin. Okay.
I think we're caught up now.
Okay. So, kind of crazy energy out there right now. We're still feeling the effects of the Uranus-Pluto square from this past Monday morning. We have a Uranus station along with the winter solstice and a new moon, all within half an hour of each other this coming Sunday. And then next Wednesday, or Tuesday, actually, the 23rd, on Tuesday, we have Saturn moving from the sign of Scorpio, where it's been for the last 2.5 years, into the sign of Sagittarius. So there is lots happening. Everyone needs to calm down. I know there's a lot of craziness out there, and there's a lot of, because over, maybe even above and beyond all that stuff, the biggest energy out there right now, on top of the Uranus Pluto square, but equal to that, is the planet Pluto is square to the nodes. This is a shifting of destiny. Everyone is moving right now to anything that's not working in your life is probably just absolutely brutally apparent at this point. So there is much shifting going on. There is many changes about. Everyone is trying to. So everyone is trying to get themselves in position to, you know, where they are aligned with their soul's purpose. And again, with Saturn in the last couple days at the last degree of the sign of Scorpio, which kind of make a mental note of what's going on right now, because next I believe it's June through September of next year, Saturn will actually be in the shadow period. That's actually June 15th, actually next year, June 15th, Saturn, which is retrograde at that point, will re-enter Scorpio. It will station direct on August 2nd, and then it will re-enter Sagittarius on September 18th of next year. So kind of the stuff that's going on right now will be revisited next June 15th through September 18th when Saturn goes back through this these degrees of these signs, which is known as the shadow period. So there's a lot of intense energy right now. There's a lot of interesting stuff going out there in the world. Just remember, we're seeing the breakdown of the 3D reality. And hold your energy, hold your vibrational level.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know.
I'll say that in English.
Your bills will still come.
Right. It's important that we hold our vibrational energy right now to help everyone kind of make it through this period. Because there's a lot of people who do not know or understand what is going on, and they are kind of panicking and whatnot. And so I think now we are going to bring in our extra super duper special hilarious guest, Kim Rogers. Good morning. Good morning, sweetie.
Good morning, my love. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Bit of a cold, so if I sound like there's a bubble over my head, bear with me. But other than that, very well.
That's all right. I feel I sound like that all the time, so we'll be a perfect fit. So thank you so much for inviting.
We're trying to thank each other at the same time. How cute. Okay.
So do you want to pimp you a little bit, then you can re-pimp yourself.
In case I
miss any pimping. So Kim has been an accomplished author and writer and lecturer. I've been teaching an astrology class for 5 years, and I have recommended your first two books, Astrology for the Light Side of the Brain and Astrology for the Light Side of the Future, to my students for the last 5 years because they are awesome books and you're totally hilarious. And it's, you know, your books are good. They're great beginner books, not just because they're written in at a level that everyone can understand, but it's also that the stories you use and the hilarious commentary just really makes it easy for people to it makes it easy for me to remember the stuff in the book. Because let's face it, I mean, sometimes astrology books can be pretty dry.
Really?
I know. So,
oh my God. Yep.
And you're also writing some for Llewellyn for some of the yearly calendars and everything. So I'll let you pimp yourself for a minute.
All right. I don't know, though. You did a hell of a job there. I don't know if I can do any better than that. But well, I'm really glad that you like those books because, God, they're from, what, 95 and 97 when I wrote them. And I they're still being used, and I'm delighted about that. I hope they help because when I got into astrology, first of all, it was familiar to me. I don't feel like I learned it. I feel like I needed a memory jogger, you know. It was just in there. But, you know, for a lot of people that are interested, you can't find anything, like you said, you know, that's not horribly dry or written by an author that uses 4 or 5 syllable words and is really happy that their vocabulary. And it's like, just explain it. So anyway, that's what I did, I hope. That's what I tried to do. So, okay, and I'm doing the Sun Sign Annuals for Llewellyn, which is great fun, and I do an online column for Aranum, which is great fun, and I'm working on, they've contracted me, Llewellyn has contracted me to do their new beginner book, which I'm really excited about. Yeah, because, you know, that's a good company, and you know, I get to be a wise ass on paper again and talk about astrology. What could be better?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, you know? I've probably have hundreds of Llewellyn books in my library. And yeah, you're right. You've got to, because that's something I've had to work on, is to talk at a, you know, a level that people can understand stuff and remember it, because sometimes I'll get into the, I'll get a little too wordy, I guess, or whatnot. So I think you do a fantastic job of.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You keep things lighthearted. I have two little funny stories regarding you.
Oh, okay, go.
And I'll post the pictures later. I'm just kidding.
Oh, don't do that. Come on, Mark. We discussed this. You promised.
my favorite quote of yours ever, I think, is you had put up. You were doing a blog or some post you had put up, and all the typing in it, a bunch of the words were mistyped, and you said you're. Cat had was helping you. You put cat conjunct keyboard.
Yeah.
That was
actually he's actually conjuncting the keyboard even as we speak.
Cats are very helpful. Very helpful.
Oh yes, definitely. Well, this guy's going to be 17 shortly, so he knows his business. So
yeah, wow, I have a little cat Rickhorn. She's Capricorn. She's a Capricorn cat. She's
okay,
a
cool.
Capricorn.
Yeah. Right.
So she's 13, I believe, or about to be 13. No, about to be.
Oh
yeah,
my.
About to be 13. Yeah. And she carries all the Capricorn traits. I'll leave it at that.
I know, it's amazing. It's amazing. It really is. They have charts too. I mean, of course they do. You know?
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely. So the other funny thing we hadn't really talked before until like probably a year or so ago, maybe a little bit longer than that. But I had friended you on Facebook because I like having Mars and Scorpio in the first house. I like to, you know, stalk people that I like. So
what degree is it?
It's two. Okay, so Mars is in my first house. It is at 2 degrees. It's a 2 degree Scorpio. It is retrograde. It is retrograde, and it is conjunct my south node.
Oh my. Okay.
And it is in opposition to my seventh house, Venus in Taurus, which is conjunct my north node in Taurus.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Relationship it is then. Right?
Yes. Yeah,
really?
Relationships are the hard one for me to figure out.
Well, I have Mars at 11, Scorpio 57, and I'm just thinking we could make a great team. You know?
Absolutely.
Really.
Absolutely.
Like professional assassins, you know, that kind of thing, really.
Awesome.
I know, right? Awesome, great.
ninja porn salesman.
Oh, I don't know. Now, see, I have Venus in Capricorn. She would not allow that sort of thing. She just made a little wrinkly thing with her nose, you know.
But you tell her to create, we could sell bondage videos.
She's arms crossed, shaking her head. Right.
You know, ironically, that wouldn't be the first Venus in Capricorn that I've scared off.
One more swing, Mark. One more.
Oh, my. Well, it is good to talk to you. I got a funny story I wanted to share with you. You were saying, that, you know, funny story. Well, what was the second one?
Oh, yeah, totally. Mercury and Pisces. That's my excuse. So we hadn't really talked until a little bit over a year ago or something, but you had sent me, I think you thought you had ran into me at one of the astrology conferences, And you sent me a message, because we were Facebook friends, and you had sent me a message saying, oh, it was good to see you at the party the other night. And what had you kind of sent me a lengthy message, and then I had to reply back.
Did I?
Like, yes. Yeah, that was how we first, like, actually talked. Because then I was like, oh, that's very nice of you, but I don't think it was me you intended that message for.
You know, it's the drugs. It's the drugs. That's what it is. You know, really. I got to just give up on the mushrooms, you know. It's out of control at this point, you know.
Yeah. But that was,
I'm kidding.
That was,
you realize that. I'm kidding. Right? Okay.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah, because Sages would never do drugs.
Oh, God, no. Definitely not. Nope.
Yeah, my friend,
even though nothing exceeds like excess.
My friend Christina in the chat room has Venus in Capricorn as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Hi, Christina.
Cool.
Christina and Scott are my favorite couple. They've been coming to my astrology class for about 5 years that I hold locally here.
Mm-hmm.
Good kids. Oh. They pull me out of a lot of messes. Aquarius and Aries.
Right. So let me tell you a funny story, okay?
Yes,
real quick. Okay. I don't know why this came to my mind, but years ago I was teaching a class in Sacramento, and it was a beginner class, and we were on class 7, and everybody, you know how beginners are after they've learned everything and they have it pretty well, you know, formulated in their brains. They decided they knew everything, you know, and they're making all these judgment calls about charts, you know. Like, oh, well, no, this one's like this, and this one's like this, and no, that can't be like that. So I said, all right, we're going to do a little experiment. So I put two charts up on the board, and the first one was Jeffrey Dahmer, and the second one was me. Okay. And I said, one of these people is an astrologer, and the other one is a serial killer. And they went right to my chart. They said, oh, my God, Mars and Scorpio square Uranus, and the sun square Pluto, and Pluto's in the seventh. That's killing another person. And, you know, oh, my God, all this. And, oh, my God, the moon opposite. Oh, yeah, that's it. So I'm like, okay, and what about this one? Well, you know, oh, Neptune on the ascent. And, bunny, oh, nice, pretty. And they're telling me about what a sweetheart he is and about his Venus in Taurus, which is rather ironic if you think about it. You know, really.
That's awesome.
You know, eating, yeah, sorry. Anyway,
right.
So
Neptune
so
with boundary,
you know,
issues.
Yeah, right? So they go through all this, and they're telling, you know, me what a horrible person this person is on the right, and what a sweetheart this person is on the left. And I'm standing there. I'm trying not to laugh. But, you know, I'm like, okay. So anyway, we get through the whole class, and it's about time to wrap up, and they said, who's who? And I said, well, actually, this is the serial killer, and this is the astrologer. Oh, I see. Right. I get it. So, yeah, Neptune, the illusion, and now they're going through all this. Now they're looking at the other side of it, right?
Right.
And I said, okay. I said, you know, no making judgment calls. I said, you know, this is Jeffrey Dahmer. And they're like, wow, who's that? I said, that's my chart, and I'm pissed off.
nice.
That's it. You guys pissed me off. You better watch your back. And they're all laughing. They're walking out the door laughing. I said, hey, just remember this, you know, really. You cannot prejudge. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. It just came to mind. So.
Oh, no, that's a great story. Because my sister is, she's into astrology. She kind of does, you know, little mini readings for people and stuff. And she comes to my classes and stuff. And so we, you know, has tried to show people at her work, you know, a few things. And then, like, one day she called me. She's like, oh, my God. It's like, you know, people, once people learn, like, just a little bit of astrology, they get so dangerous. And that's one of the great things about, like, once I learned, like, the basic archetypes and stuff like that, and I was like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm just picking stuff out. And then, like, that one day you run across a couple charts, and you're like, oh, my God, astrology doesn't work, because this is way off, and this is way off. What's going on? And then you start looking into the, and it's like, okay, there's a big thing. You got to look at social conditioning and religious conditioning and evolutionary states and what the nodes and what kind of So, yeah, it's funny because then it was like, oh, my God, I know nothing.
You know, I was contacted by a woman who was born 2 hours before me. And we Skyped the other night for 2.5 hours. I mean, it was unbelievable. It really was like talking to myself. It really was. It was absolutely wild. And our lives have been very different, but our opinions and our feelings are exactly the same on every issue. That's what I found. Isn't that wild?
That is. Sorry, I was opening a program there. They got some noise over here, I think. Yes, that is completely amazing. That is because like we'll hear.
She knows her astrology too. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I get those questions from people too. It's like, well, how come people born at the same time at the same, or the same day at the same hospital don't have the same exact lives or whatnot? And it's like, well, a lot of them probably have similar issues or similar things that they're working on. But once you start looking at different evolutionary states and life things and what kind of karma they're working out and this incarnation and things like that, it's like there's a million different. So one of the things I preach now is like one of the first things I look at when I'm looking at somebody's chart is I've kind of noticed everybody has at least one thing in their chart that doesn't work normally. That, you know, there's a wound or some soul thing or some karmic thing or some, you know, event that happened in their life that shifted how their Mars plays out or their Uranus or whatnot. So it's like one of the first things I try to find is what's the oddball there? What's the one planet that at least, you know, some people have more than one. That you know, kind of plays out differently than you would expect it to.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting way to do it. I think you're right about that.
Yeah. So what do you? It's a little bit squirrely out there right now with the energy. Are you that people? Yeah.
Really, Uranus square Pluto or what? I mean, wow. Woof.
And Uranus station coming up in a couple days, and the
solstice. Saturn changing his outfit. Yep,
and new moon, and
yeah,
it's a little crazy.
A lot of Saturn going on this weekend.
Yes, yes.
You know, really, a whole lot of Saturn going on.
Yeah, you see the last
rows. I'm amazed. Yeah.
What are you picking up on?
I'm going to be interested to see what Saturn, what happens during that period you were talking about earlier from June 15th through September when Saturn revisits Scorpio, because this whole mutual disposition that he's been going through all these years with Pluto, you know, Pluto and Capricorn and, you know, in Saturn and Scorpio, it's been all about changing the laws, changing the rules, literally, but, you know, of course, you know, changing the laws. So, now he's going to storm off into Sagittarius, which I think is a good fit for Saturn, actually, because it chills him out a little bit, you know. And, you know, I have Saturn in Sag, right on my midheaven. So, you know, I'm fine with it. It's like, bring it on. Come on, pal. But and Saturn has been very good to me lately. He really has. We have a whole new working relationship. It's wonderful. And So I'm interested because then, of course, Saturn into Sagittarius is about laws and rules, too, in a different way, you know. But I'm interested because it's almost like, you know, this introductory period, this first 6 months, I think there's going to be some major changes. And then, you know, especially once he starts retrograding back through Scorpio, that's going to be, woof, that's going to be quite the time. You know, and finishes things up with Pluto, you know.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. I totally agree. Because one of the things I've seen, like, with the Saturn-Pluto mutual reception is, like more extremes. Like, the ruthless people are getting more ruthless.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the people that are kind and helpful are getting more so that way. It's like the lines are being drawn up, which side of, I don't want to say which side of the fence you're on, but you know, they bastards are more bastardly.
Yeah. I hear you. It's true. And then, you know, the Uranus squaring Pluto, I mean, that's like, wow, it's just so appropriate for the time. I mean, I can't imagine how anyone could not believe in astrology. I just can't believe anybody could do that. I mean, people, you know what amazes me? People get on planes and get married and vote for presidents, you know, without looking at the astrology. It blows my mind. I feel bad for them.
I know.
You're operating at such a, you know, an ignorant level. I don't mean ignorant, you know, in a bad way. I mean, you have no idea what's going on. You need to learn this, you know. It's, amazing.
I totally agree. I mean, with the Uranus Pluto, I mean, my God, opened a newspaper any day in the last, in the last 2.5 years since the Uranus Pluto square cycle started. I mean, right now, you open up the newspaper, there's, on a calm day, there are 5 stories about protests and rebellions going on. You know, Hong Kong, Ferguson, Staten Island.
I know. It's true.
China, Serbia. I mean, a whole front page of the newspaper or the national section or world section is protests and overthrows that are going on.
I know, it's unbelievable. It really is. And Neptune now, see, this is the other thing. You know, I mean, it's easy to forget about. And I do think Neptune is a feminine energy. I can't see Neptune as masculine in any way, shape, or form. I mean, come on. Look at all the things she rules. Soft, nice escape, you know, behind closed doors and, you know, compassion, you know, unconditional love. To me, these are all feminine traits. I don't mean, you know, womanly traits, but you know what I'm saying, feminine. So I always refer to Neptune as a her and the planet of disguise, right? So what could be better? She's pulled off the ultimate scam all these years. Oh, yeah, I'm a dude, really.
Right.
Perfect. You know, a perfect disguise. Yep. So anyway.
Right. Yeah, because Neptune's my ruling planet.
Ah, okay. Yep.
And all these stations the last couple years by Neptune have been right on my Mercury.
Oh, I see. Boy. Wow, you're doing a fine job then. You're still conscious. That's a really good thing, you know.
Consciousness is relative.
yeah, there's that. Oh, my. But, you know, this. It's amazing, you know, watching. I remember watching Neptune in Aquarius and all the newfangled contraptions that came out. And now all those contraptions are wireless. Isn't that something? You know, it's like Neptune broke down the boundaries with the internet, you know, when it was in Aquarius. And now it's like, oh, you don't even need to, you know, be anywhere. You can just be anywhere you like, you know, wireless and, you know, speaking freely, you know, and the cloud. Isn't that a trip? How appropriate is that for Neptune in Pisces? The cloud.
Oh, I didn't even catch that. That's amazing.
Isn't that wild? Isn't it? Oh.
Yep. Just the terminology you see playing out with some of this stuff.
I know. Yeah.
So I'm partially interesting, partially worrisome thing that I see coming up is we're going to have. I mean, it's by aspect it's happening now, even though it's out of sign, but the Saturn-Neptune square. So, I mean, to me, I read somebody had put, and I feel bad because I forget who I saw wrote this, but they said that Saturn in Sagittarius is going to be about redefining yourself. And I can see square to the Neptune, you know, Neptune being imagination, Saturn structures. You know how this is because I'm already feeling I'm redoing all my websites. I'm changing my company name. I'm like redoing and rebuilding everything. And it's amazing, like how many people I'm running into that are doing the same thing. So I'm really seeing there's a lot of reimagining and reinventing of things as this Saturn Neptune square is just now starting to get going. And then also kind of the final rebellion with the Uranus-Pluto square, rebellion against what has been, which will be next middle of next March. What do you see happening with the Saturn Neptune square?
Well, I'm kind of hopeful about it, actually. I feel there are so many things that are wrong right now. You know, I mean, there's the corporations that have been the GMO foods. It's just amazing how blindsided and ignorant we have been to exactly what's going on behind the scenes for so long. And it's all starting to erupt now. And I think that's Saturn in Scorpio and Pluto in Capricorn, the eruption. But and Uranus square Pluto, boom, you know, there's the fire. But I think that once Saturn gets into Sag, I think, and squares Neptune, I think it's going to be like a reality check for everybody. Like, wake up. Wake up. This is reality. You know, that's how I see it. And I'm a big fan of reality. So, except
I've
on the
heard
weekend,
of this,
you know.
Right. I've heard of this reality thing. Where would one
find
this?
Oh, have you? Yeah.
I've heard
well,
of
honey,
it.
Don't worry about it. You haven't been there for a few years, right, with Neptune, Mercury. It's all right. It's all good.
No.
It'll happen soon.
I got sucked up into the cloud.
Yeah, right. I know. Huh? Well, the interesting thing for me personally is that Saturn is going to station at 4, which is my sun. So that's going to be interesting. And my Neptune is 3 Scorpio, so this is going to be wild year. Yeah. But I'm really looking forward to it. I have no problem with Saturn anymore. I really don't. We get along very well now.
I've always hated Saturn, but I have a stellium in Cancer, so Saturn.
Oh,
I have a moon, stationary Jupiter, midheaven stellium in Cancer. So I've never gotten along good with Saturn. But in the last year and a half, the last 2 years, Saturn has aspected every single planet in my chart.
Yeah.
And especially over the last 6 months, it's really, I mean, because I've got a gigantic water grand trine between 20 and 29 degrees of the water signs. I've got Sun, Sun, Chiron, Midheaven, Jupiter, Moon, and Neptune.
Mm-hmm.
And then a Saturn at 2 degrees Aries. So Saturn has hit everything in my chart. The last year and a half, and I've come to make friends with Saturn too. It showed me a lot of things that were not working in my life, and it's allowed me to fix and improve a lot of things. And now I'm restructuring my business stuff, my business structure, and everything. So
that's a great job for him. That's what I always think when Saturn comes along by transit. You know, it's very important. First of all, I mean, again, I don't know how people survive without astrology, because you see Saturn coming and it's like, oh, okay, so I got to tighten things up before he gets here, you know.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's just – so I don't know. Where was I going with that? I just lost my train of thought. It's the drugs. God.
Your train of thought derailed.
So the Saturn station, I'm okay with it, because I was born with a sun moon sextile, thank God, because as I told you, the rest of the chart is like, thank God there's something good in there, you know. So when Saturn's, you know, stations on my sun, he's going to sextile my moon. I have no problem with this, you know. I forgot what I was talking about. New rules, new laws. I think that's what's going to happen. And that Saturn square Neptune, I think it's going to be about reality checks. Reality checks. Wake up.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I don't know.
Totally agree. And it's, you know, squares can be looked at as difficult energy sometimes, but sometimes that put, you know, the squares can put energy or action into something that needs a little kicking the tuchus or whatnot, you know?
Absolutely. So, I have a million squares in my chart, and I'm glad for them, because otherwise, I mean, I'm a Sag. I got Venus square Jupiter. I probably would not have gotten off the couch from age 11, you know? So,
yes.
You know,
yes.
So I'm very grateful for my squares. And I think the more difficult, the most difficult aspect is the inconjunct, because they can't talk to each other. There's nothing for them to talk about. You know, I mean, the gender is off, and the element and the modality. They have nothing to talk about. It's like putting two strangers in a room that don't speak the same language and, you know, having a whole lot of construction going on outside and then pumping in, you know, Black Sabbath or some kind of loud rock music and then saying, you know, here, tell each other a story. Are you serious? You know, I can't hear them. I can't, you know. So I think that's far more difficult. The squares, at least you can use them. Like you said, you know, they give you a kick in the tuchus, you know. But, the inconjuncts, that's, I don't know, it's kind of like the hanging man card for me. That always comes to mind when I see an inconjunct, because there's like an astrological, dial tone, you know. No communication, you know. So in my opinion.
No, totally agree. Because I went through that 2.5 years ago when Saturn first entered Scorpio, because when Saturn was in Scorpio, my natal Saturn is in Aries. So they are.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Mm.
So there you have where there's no commonality between the dualities or modes or elements. And so I see where I missed a lot of messages there I was supposed to get. You know, the communication connection was not there.
I hear you. And those are tough, in conjunction. But like I said, and trines, you know, highly overrated, I think. Highly overrated because, you know, unless you have something kicking you, like you said, you know, you'll just sit there and smile because it feels really good. And that's it, you know?
Yeah. So I think we're going to take a short little, 30-second break here, get a drink of water or whatnot, and we will be right back with Kim Rogers.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
And we are back with our guest, Kim Rogers.
nice touch.
I'm kind of a dork. I have lots of little toys here and little samples and things.
Oh, rabbit.
That's cool.
Tricks are for kids.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I'm a little differently wired, as I'm sure everyone's figured out by now.
Thank God for that, huh?
Yeah.
It would be worse than being normal. I can't imagine being normal or being, you know. So if somebody tells me I'm just like everybody else, I'm highly insulted. It's like, the hell I am. I've made a lifetime of proving that statement false, you know. I mean, that's been my quest. So, you know, really, you know, an astrologer that, you know, when I, moon in Aquarius, Aquarius rising, sun trine Uranus, when I go out on vacation, you know, I go to a medieval village for 2 weeks every year, and I dress in medieval clothes and live in a medieval tent. That's my idea of a good time. So please don't tell me that I'm like everybody else. Seriously, you know what I mean? Really?
Yeah. So, we have a thing in Ohio called the Renaissance Festival.
Yeah.
And that usually operates for pretty much throughout the summer and early fall, I think, and they have a. They have a little village set up, and you know, you can get mead and giant turkey legs and stuff. And
well, see, that sort of thing is what got me into this is called Penzic. And let's see, this year I think it's going to be the 42nd year it's been going on, and it's like a medieval Brigadoon, you know, or a medieval Woodstock, I should say. Okay, and it's a 2 by 2 mile square, or maybe even larger, in Pennsylvania, in Butler, Pennsylvania, and it's sponsored by this group, the SCA, the Society for Creative Anachronism, And so we, 10, 12, sometimes 13,000 people go there and live there in medieval tents. And, I mean, you live there. You are in there. And, you know, it's actually, it's like going back in time. You sleep in your tent and you, and this is not just your basic camping. This is camping with a canvas tent. It looks, you know, with the dagging like you would see in Braveheart or something, and with oriental carpets and a bed and furniture. And, I mean, this is like, it's, I don't know, what do they call it, glamping?
Oh, wow, okay.
So anyway, yeah, so, we, you know, and you change your name. And so to me, and the guys are dressed like knights. I mean, a guy will walk by on the road in armor and bow and say, "Good day, my lady." And my Venus in Capricorn is all about that shit, I'll tell you. She's like, that's what I'm talking about right there. That's what I'm saying, you know, right? And the moon is, my moon is in Aquarius in the 12th house, so let's go live in an odd village for 2 weeks. Absolutely, I'm home, you know.
So any single ladies out there looking for your knight in shining armor, I guess. Literally.
yeah, literally. It's true. I mean, it's a, I don't know, it's fantastic. And it's mandatory. You must dress in garb while you're there. You have to. That's it. Because you don't want to screw up somebody's dream, you know, by walking around in jeans. Like, get that out of my face, all right? I left that behind, you know. So,
Hopefully everyone keeps their lance to themselves.
No comment there. No comment. But it's really magical at night. It's very magical at night. No electricity, so it's all bonfires and tiki torches and wrought iron dragon lighting, you know, torches, literally.
Wow.
Just really, yeah, it's really, really beautiful. Really, really neat. So, yeah, it's a cool thing.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And are people
Are
people able to come, like, come visit for a day or something like that? Or, like, for...
Nope.
They have, like,
Nope.
You're
gotta
locked
live
out.
There. That's
wow.
It. Yep. It's like you cross the bridge and you kind of hear this zip, and that means you are in the bubble and what's out there is out there. And you are at Tenzin, and everything is different now. You know, it's absolutely wonderful.
Wow.
It really is. And you change your name. You change your name. You pick your name, and that's your name. So, and I've been going now for, God, over 20 years.
Wow.
And the amazing thing is a year goes by, but people camp where they always camp, you know. So a year goes by, and so you walk, you know, up to the top of the hill, and there they are, right where you left them. You know,
wow.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's really, it's good. It's a good thing. So that's how I relax. You know what I'm saying? So don't be telling me I'm normal.
I can see Uranus from here.
That's funny.
Oh, goodness sakes. So what do you see going forward with I'm saying that it's going to be this kind of chaos period, kind of. I think it's going to calm down here shortly, but then I like the beginning of the year, but then I think as we get close to, cuz I was looking at like for my class this week, I'm going to go over kind of an overview of everything that's happening next year. And so I kind of go through and make myself a handout with like all the big events for next year and everything. And I was looking at March and it's like, when does it start? Like March 6th through the 20th of next year, we've got Mars hitting the south node. Then we've got a Mars-Jupiter trine, Mars conjunct Uranus, Mars conjunct Uranus and south node square Pluto, Saturn going retrograde, and then the 7th of and last of the Uranus-Pluto squares, and then a new moon solar eclipse. That's all. That all happens in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's going to be a very busy time, to say the least.
Yeah, especially that solar eclipse falls right on my son as well. So.
Right. 29/27, right? Yeah.
So.
Really.
If I disappear, you'll know where I went.
No, you can't do that. No, you won't do that. You won't do that. You'll probably just be very successful with everything that you're doing right now. You know, a brand new beginning.
That sounds very good, because I've kind of fixed everything else in my life over the last year, and I'm tweaking the financial thing to get that flow working properly, kind of weighing and measuring things. So I think that's what I'll be working on the next few months, is getting that up and going on the right place. But I mean, what do you think will happen after the last of these Uranus Pluto squares? Do you think this seventh hit will be like a really big? I mean, because this one, the sixth one we just had, felt pretty big.
I'll say.
So,
really?
I mean, do you think it's gonna like settle down a bit after that, or what? I know that's kind of as shaky as things are. That's 3 months down the road. It's kind of a long way to look, but I've been trying to kind of figure out what exactly things will look like at that point.
Well, let me think. I think there's going to be some major changes in, it's already happening. I mean, look at the laws. We have equal marriage rights. Thank God. Why anybody would care, I will never understand. Knock yourself out, really. the gay marriage thing I'm talking about.
I can't imagine.
Really, how could anyone have an opinion on it if you're not gay?
Right.
I mean, it's like, excuse me, it's like, what if every gay person in the world looked at us and said, oh, no, I'm sorry, you can't get married, you're straight. Really?
Right.
Are you kidding me?
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
So, I mean, at least that law is changing, and rapidly it's really spreading, and I think that's part of the Uranus square Pluto. And the marijuana legalization, that's definitely the Uranus Pluto square. It's about, and again, it's about, you know, like you said, getting a jolt. You know, Uranus is jolting Pluto, just, you know, moving up on him and smacking him. And it, of course, it's Pluto and Capricorn, so there you have the laws and the government and the authority figures and the higher ups and powers that be. And here comes Uranus, and I think Uranus loves being in Aries. I really do. It's just a match made in heaven, you know?
Yeah,
because Aries is so, Aries is so impulsive, and Uranus is so impulsive, and I think he's just having the time of his life in this sign. I really do. And so I think that, I think things are going to be much better afterwards. You know, I mean, think about what was going on when we had the conjunction back in the 60s, 70s, you know, the Virgo, you know. You know, of course, it was just like now. People were protesting and marching, and we got a lot done. We got a lot done during that period. So, again, I'm hopeful. I'm seeing some positive changes. I'm frustrated with the state of politics at the moment, of course, and I'm frustrated with the corporations and Monsanto, but we're learning about it, and that's, you know, I mean, how long, you know, how long could this have gone on if Neptune, in her infinite wisdom, had not, started with Aquarius to open up our eyes and allow us to communicate to the point where now nothing is secret. So, you know, that's a good thing in this case, because now we can see what's going on. But, anyway, I just think that at the end of all this, I think there's going to be some very, very good, very positive changes. We are not the same people. There's so many laws that need to be changed. We are not the same people we were when these laws were written, you know, as a collective. And I think that's what's got to happen. I hope that's what will happen. So,
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, with all the energy jumps and shifts and everything that have been happening, I think we're going to see more. I think we haven't fixed everything, but we've at least like kind of loosened up the hard ground around it to where we can like start digging some of this stuff up. And I think too, on the bigger sense too, there's, I think Pluto being in Capricorn, one level of that is about self-accountability. So on part of the, you know, we have having the along with the Uranus Pluto square, having the Neptune, which is kind of in Pisces, kind of spiritual awakening. Then we also have the Pluto in Capricorn, which on one level is about self-accountability. So in a way, we're kind of, as Neptune in Pisces is awakening our soul and our spirit, Pluto in Capricorn is kind of waking up and exposing the powers that be. And also, you know, we're seeing where we're accountable for having been asleep and let these things get to this state. So now it's kind of about self-accountability and trying to put things back in order that we've let and get, let get way out of whack.
And, you know, also I was thinking, I don't know if you're like me, but I don't watch network news. And of course, you know, Fox, that's never been on my television, and it never will be in life. Unless I'm dead and someone comes over, you know, that's fine. But no, it will never happen. When, the way that I get my news is from Jon Stewart, Stephen Colbert, Letterman, Leno, The View. I watch, I mean, because that way you have a perspective. You don't have facts pumped at you and shoved down your throat. And I can't. And you can't believe it anymore anyway. You can't believe anything, you know, about the news anymore. So I'm thinking that with Saturn and Sag, for the next 2.5 years, maybe the rest of the world will catch on to that fact and start getting their news from these people in a humorous manner, Saturn and Sag. You know, here's the facts presented humorously. So you can realize, you know, that it's going on. But they're the facts. It's still Saturn, you know. So anyway, that's what that's what I'm hoping for, that we have more and more of the... And what's the other one? John Oliver, last tonight.
Hilarious.
Terrific show. Terrific show. But if you do it with humor, people are okay with it. Humor is the best thing in the world. It really, I mean, okay, I'm a Sag, of course, you know, but... Man, laughter is the best medicine, and humor is the best way to drive your point home sweetly and to make people... You know, once somebody laughs at themselves, then it's like, oh, yeah, maybe you're right. That is kind of silly, huh? You know, but not in a hurtful way. So,
when you can, just like your books, too, when you make people laugh, or even just, you know, if you are watching TV, if you see a funny commercial, those stick in my head more so than a serious, you know, John Hancock, your investments are so started. You know, that, I mean, kind of stuff doesn't save me, but you're right. I will, when there's a big event happening, I will turn the mainstream news at first to see what's going on, because just to be honest with you, I the closest peeps, I mean, we're conspiratorial, so we look to see what the official story is, because we know that that's false, and then we kind because they kind of secretly tell you what's going on if you know how to interpret what they're putting out
I'll go to,
you know, some news source on the internet, you know, to see what's actually going on.
Oh, I do that, definitely. I use the internet for all it's worth, you know. But as far as watching... you know, the like Fox or some other type of cable, you know, news. I don't believe you.
Right.
You know, I don't believe you.
All mainstream media has so lost any credibility that, I mean, if you look at the ratings for the news shows and stuff, I mean, it's just, I mean, talk about falling completely in the toilet. I mean, it's.
As well, they should. They should, because, it, you know, it's time. You know, The Newsroom, an excellent series. Did you watch that?
I have not seen that. I have not seen
that. Oh, it's fabulous. It's about a news network that is trying to tell the truth. And it's a fabulous show. It just ended, unfortunately. It's in its third season. It just, actually, last week was the last episode. But it's about a news network that actually has integrity and actually wants to report the facts. And the frustration that they feel because even when they tell, you know, the true story, nobody listens. Nobody listens.
So, oh, I would love that.
Oh, it's awesome. It's on HBO. You should, yeah. I'm a big fan of cable. I don't mind paying as long as I don't have to sit through commercials. I will not watch commercials. I don't watch anything on network television live. I tape it. And then I fast forward through the commercials, and I feel a great sense of victory when I get through, and it's like, I did it again, you know.
I totally agree.
You know? Okay. Unbelievable.
Okay, we're going to take a really short break here, catch our breaths for a second, and we will be right back with our guest, Kim Rogers.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com and WithInsights.com, your free online holistic publication resource magazine for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. Please feel free to explore our daily inspirational quotes and uplifting stories, exclusive interviews with local world-known inspirational leaders.
I'm a complete dork.
No, you're not. That was funny. Go for it, baby.
So, what's anything else big you see coming up for? I mean, I really like the Jupiter Uranus. Well, I'm jumping all over the place here. I had a thought on one of your last points there with the you're talking about the 60s with the Uranus Pluto conjunction.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, those of us born, one of my favorite comedians, Emo Phillips, has a phrase. Those of us born at a more comfortable distance from the apocalypse. Those of us born in the born in the
That's great.
Yes, he's one of my favorites.
Mm.
Those of us with the tight Uranus Pluto conjunction born in the 60s, we're kind of approaching transiting Pluto, which is in the low teens right now, I believe, of Capricorn. It's actually it's actually at 13 right now.
Yeah.
So that we're coming up on a transiting Pluto trining our natal Uranus Pluto conjunctions for a lot of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So to me, that's kind of about we'll use my chart for example. Just
okay.
I have Uranus and Pluto at 19 and 21 Virgo, 18 and 21
okay.
Virgo. So Pluto being in Capricorn, one of the other two Earth signs, is starting to form an exact trine to my Uranus-Pluto conjunction. And so for our whole generation with that Uranus-Pluto conjunction in Virgo, transiting Pluto is kind of telling us to assume our power and to kind of take control, I think, of things on, you know, whatever level that things can be controlled. But we're kind of rising, waking up our power, kind of rising up to fulfill our destinies, for lack of a cheesier phrase.
Yeah, I know, right? I think that's true, though. I mean, you know, if you speak, you know, collectively, that's absolutely true. Absolutely.
Right. And then even looking at it, like next year, like the first half of the year, we're going to have Jupiter and Leo forming a trine to Uranus and Aries. And then the second half of the year, as we get late in the year next year, Jupiter will have moved into Virgo, and Jupiter will be forming a trine to Pluto.
Yeah.
As well. So we're kind of, yep, we're, yep, getting some, I kind of feel like the next 3 months, there's going to be more of this, these baggage checks where we're asked to keep letting go of our baggage,
mm-hmm,
and the old ways
baggage
we used to
checks
do things.
Oh, I love that. That's a great way to put it. That's fabulous. Wow.
Yeah, because I stole that from a friend, a spiritual friend around here. But,
well, that's,
but
that's
I'm using
a great
it.
Line, really. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So it's like when we don't get rid of that baggage and stuff that we need to, then at the next little baggage check, you know, that energy is that much more intense, saying, hey, this is,
yep,
something you need to address.
Yeah.
And
it's time to ditch this, right? Yeah. Molt.
Right.
Molt.
And so I,
know?
Think, yeah, so I think the Jupiter trying to Uranus and then trying to Pluto in the second half of the year is going to help that, because I kind of feel like at the seventh of these Uranus Pluto squares in March that we really will, I mean, because I feel lighter, I feel like I've let go of a lot of stuff the last couple of years.
Yeah,
and so I
bet you have.
And,
yeah,
and so I think from even collectively as a species going through these Uranus Pluto squares and stuff, and I know Saturn has really hit hard in a lot of people's charts, I think after we get through this period in March, I seem like there's more good creative aspects. I don't want to say good, helpful aspects instead of the like stressful. We've seemed like,
yeah,
we've had a lot of stressful aspects lately.
Yeah.
So I think we're kind of, I think March will kind of be a watershed area where people will be able to, I think the energy will be a little bit more conducive to making, you know, organic change instead of forced change, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think you're right. I think you're right. And I mean, I hadn't noticed that about Jupiter, but that's a really good point that, you know, trining Uranus, there we go. So easy to make drastic change, making it easy to make big change. And then trining Pluto, you know, making it easy to assimilate the change. So, yeah, I think that's great. That's a really good,
right,
you know, way to look at it.
Right, and then even, I looked even a little further down the road into beginning of 2016, and then we will actually, depending on where your Uranus-Pluto conjunction is, for people in our age group,
mm-hmm,
we'll have Jupiter in Virgo forming, it'll be conjunct our Uranus-Pluto conjunction, in,
yep,
like early 2016 and forming that trine to Pluto. So that's
right,
really,
right,
some great energy working. And then on top of that, the nodes late next year, the North Node will go into Virgo. So at some point there, we're going to have a Jupiter conjunct North Node conjunct our Uranus Pluto conjunctions with a trine from Pluto. So to me, that's
right,
you know, the Earth energy is kind of structure and grounding and really building a new good structure and everything. So I kind of see that after we get through the last of the 7 Uranus Pluto squares, we actually start like rebuild, because it feels like it's just been a lot of unloading stuff and dismantling stuff that hasn't been working. But I kind of,
yeah,
feel like we start working towards that Jupiter nodes, Uranus Pluto, earthy energy, which will all be in really good harmonious aspect after that. So,
yeah,
I feel like,
yeah,
really be able to build things up in a better way after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, I'm a big fan of Jupiter anyway. I don't care what sign he's in, but I, you know, he's having a party right now in Leo. Oh boy, talk about a good time,
yeah,
huh? You,
yeah,
know? You know, they say Jupiter is exalted in Cancer. I don't know about that. I'm a bit skeptical about this whole abilities and dignities and, you know, exaltations and falls. I just kind of see them in a different way, I think. So I think he's just having a party.
I'm with you on that. I am totally with you on that about the exaltations and the falls and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think those maybe have an influence, but I would rank it like, you know, 237th on the list of important things that I would.
I was going to say important things to think about. Yeah, it's true.
I mean, I've done
Here's my thing. I think that a planet, in its supposed dignity, well, you know, in the sign that it owns, basically, I think that planet is like you or me going to work in the right outfit for our job, and so we feel confident, and you know, we're dressed appropriately to do the work that we need to do. And but a planet in exaltation, now that's you or me at the end of the workday in our favorite clothes, where we feel comfy and relaxed, and you know, your jammies or your sweatpants and a t-shirt. That's that planet. That's how that planet feels in the exaltation, I think. And then I'm thinking the debility is kind of like, instead of going to work like say you're a cop, instead of going to work in your uniform, you need to wear an evening gown. Now that's going to be tough. That's going to be tough to pull off. But people are amazingly creative with the way that they use all their energies, you know? And so that can work out. And a planet in its fall, I think, is kind of like you in something that doesn't fit right, you know, in clothing that doesn't feel right. It's, you know, it pinches, it scratches, it's too tight or it's too loose. That's just my, I don't know, just my thoughts on that whole situation.
Yeah, I feel I give more power, if you will, to a planet being in the sign or house that it rules than I do it being in its exaltation or fall. Because my little bad analogy that I use is, it's like in a sporting event, a team having home field advantage.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So, cause I mean, I've got a weird thing in my chart actually that I've never run across in anybody else's, but I have five planets in the house that they rule. I've got Uranus in the 11th, Jupiter in the 9th, Venus in the 7th, Sun in the 5th, and Mars in the 1st.
Nice.
I've never seen anybody has five planets in the houses that
I don't. I'll have to look, but yeah, I think you're right. I can't imagine that myself. You know, really, that's interesting. Very interesting.
Explains my extreme oddness, maybe.
Oh, but you know, that's just totally appealing to me. Oddness is the way to go. So I'm happy with that. You know. I appreciate oddness. I applaud it.
Me too. I don't think I have any friends that could be considered normal, I would think. And by God, I'm keeping it that way.
Yeah, really, huh? You got to be careful of that. You know, that normal stuff, that could rub off.
Oh, it's a dangerous thing to be, is normal.
Oh, God.
So,
because to me, normal also sounds boring. You know, like,
oh,
okay,
absolutely.
Just another one of the herd, you know. Mm-mm. Sorry.
So yes, I totally agree. Totally agree. Mm. So we had a little, I guess it's not a little question. We have a question here in the chat room. I don't know if you'd want to
run
through this or I can help you run through it or whatnot. But our friend Christina here says she would like to hear just a very short, quick version of each of the planets with your description, like she said, like you do on Facebook.
Oh, who's this Christina? Who do we know? Because if she's one of my friends, you know.
Yeah, this is, I know her very well. She's here local. Her and her husband, Scott, are two of my good friends, but I know she follows your blogs and your posts, so.
Okay, we can do that.
Okay.
Let's see. Well, we should start with the sun, the head honcho. I see the sun as the big boss. You know, I mean, if you think about it, it's the solar system. Who's in charge here? You know, good old soul.
Right.
So
right.
I see, and I see that you know, and I see the sun as a young person, because, you know, we're learning our sun. So, and I see, you know, the pride and the arrogance and the confidence that comes with youth. That's how I see the sun. So I would picture the sun, honestly, as a young man who, you know, if he's in Sagittarius, he's a funny, klutzy little horse, you know, or she is a funny, klutzy little horse, you know.
Right.
Anyway, and the moon now, the moon I see as, you know, that little lady. She's probably about maybe 4'10", 4'11". And she's round, apron, always wearing an apron because you never know. And also giving people a hard time, you know, when she's in Capricorn and stuff like that, like being the little authority figure, you know, like, hey, pick up your room and stop that right now and put that down.
Right.
And, you know, I can see that, you know, because the moon is really underrated, you know, for her powers. She really is. I mean, she's
yeah.
a tough cookie. And let's see. Now, Mercury, I picture Barry Manilow on rollerblades. That, to me, is Mercury, you know, with wearing every possible electronic device, you know, that there is out there. And when he's retrograde, of course, he's skating backwards, which is tricky, you know. And Venus, I see as a lovely lady in an evening gown. And, you know, depending on her mood, like, for example, Venus in Aries, if she's interested in you, she will go, you know, walk over to you and say, which time should I pick you up tonight? You know,
right.
Boom,
right?
Right. Venus in Scorpio, on the other hand, you know, she'll sit there and stare at you until you finally get up and walk over and say, what do you want? What is it? You know? So that would be my Venus.
Or stare at you through your bedroom window.
Yeah, right? Yeah, really, yeah. Stalk, and yeah, peep, yeah, yeah. And Mars, of course, is like, you know, he's always spoiling for a fight. He's rowdy. So I always think an action hero, you know, Rambo or even what's the other character he put? Rocky, someone like that, you know. I mean, not with brain cells though, you know. And,
right.
You know, and let's see. Oh, and Jupiter. Oh, Jupiter is Santa Claus, hands down. Jupiter is Santa Claus, and Jupiter, say for example, in Taurus, I see him. I think Pavarotti right away. You know, with the huge voice, the wonderful voice, and bigger than life. Jupiter is the kind of guy that, you know, you ask him for $5 for cab fare, and he gives you $500 and buys the cab, you know. So, you know, it's like, here you go. There you go. Good kid. Go on. And Saturn, I think of as Ichabod Crane. He, a very stern taskmaster. Doesn't smile, you know, and when he does, he kind of just looks constipated. And, you know, very, very slender, very lanky, stiff, rigid, you know. His kind of humor is what do you call it, stand-up, but it's sarcasm, you know, understated. Let's see. Uranus is like an ice god. He's like got a long white beard and long white hair and blue eyes and little icicles on his huge white eyebrows, and he's dressed in a white robe, and those blue eyes are constantly focused on the future. And Neptune, again, is the goddess in the pink gown, and she carries with her two things. She has a bucket of pink dust, and she has a pink smoke machine. And when she does not like something that is going on, when reality gets a little bit too harsh, she turns on the smoke machine and tosses a handful of pink dust, and all of a sudden, poof, it's all good. And
funnily
Pluto,
enough, I do that too.
Sorry? I didn't hear
you. I said, funnily enough, I do that too.
You got the machine and the dust?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. what's the other thing? Oh, and Pluto. Pluto is, I don't know, I'm kind of I debate this all the time. On the one hand, I see him as Darth Vader. And then on the other hand, I see him as Steven Seagal. You know, it could go either way. It could be dark and sexy or just dark and scary. But dark is dark, period. Dark, you know. It always amazed me, you know, when they when that astronomer announced that Pluto had been demoted, he was no longer a planet. I'm standing there and I'm thinking, oh, man, have you never seen The Omen, pal? Because I wouldn't want to be in your shoes right now, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to make Pluto mad.
Yeah, the funny thing about when that had happened was I'd found a couple articles, which were not circulated in the mainstream media about that.
Yeah.
But I found a couple talking about that conference. It was in Sweden or Switzerland or Belgium or somewhere in that part of Europe. But apparently there was an argument between two groups of scientists that were there, astronomers. Yeah, and then one group had won the earlier unrelated argument over it. And then as the conference was closing, they were still mad about losing the first argument. So then after like 85% of the people had left the conference, this little group voted on Pluto not being a planet anymore. And so even look at that symbolism. You had a organized conspiratorial assassination on the planet Pluto's standing.
How literal is that? yeah, exactly. It's true, really. So, well, does that make Christina happy?
Yes, and it's Christina Jerzyk, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I know that lady. Hi, baby. Okay.
Yes.
So is that good, though? Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Anybody else?
Yes.
Anybody else have questions?
I don't see any other questions in the chat room. If anybody wants to call in real quick with a question, we got just a couple minutes here. If anybody wants to call in with a quick question for Kim.
How many people are listening? Do you know?
Looks like we've got, there's five that are showing up in the chat room.
Right.
But there are, I don't see the actual live and download listens until a couple days afterwards.
Right.
I can send you a message later with.
Yeah, that's
so
cool.
Those are just people in the chat room. If there's people listening on their phones and everything else too, that'll.
I see.
I know one of our friends listens on her phone at work on Friday.
Oh, that's
good. Cool. So yeah, it's like kind of multi-leveled ways that people can listen in, but. I'll send you some numbers this week after.
Yeah, cool.
So do you still do readings for people, like personal readings? And
I certainly do. Yes, I do.
So where
I do them three evenings a week and one weekend afternoon. So, yeah, and usually I can set the appointment up within 3 to 5 days of my receipt of payment and I do readings. I love readings.
So if someone wanted to get a reading from the beautiful and talented Kim Rogers, how might one, contact?
Well, you can get a hold of me on Facebook or via my email, krgphoenix, phoenix, 313 at yahoo.com. And either way, sure.
Okay. And
I like reading.
Yeah, I do too. It's a good way to keep your skills sharp, and there's always some kind of you learn a lot. You learn a lot, especially on a one-on-one reading, because you run across a lot of just interesting scenarios that you hadn't thought of or you don't read in, especially in any of the cookie cutter books.
Yeah.
And so it really, it's kind of an education for me on my end too, because it's like, wow, I didn't know anyone who'd, you can, when you're doing readings, you sometimes run into some really extreme circumstances because in reality I don't get many readings from people that are really happy and in a good spot at the moment. There's some people that
I know,
get a
you
reading
really
every, right?
Yeah.
It's like, people,
yeah.
It's like, I'm having problems, and I've tried every other avenue, or I'm looking for additional information. So,
Or just what the hell is going on here? What is going on? What am I missing? You know, because apparently the universe is trying to make a point. So, what's the point? Can you help me there? You know.
I got a message saying almost exactly that this morning. In fact.
Oh yeah! Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's coming up in the near future for you?
For me, well, I'm working on that Llewellyn beginner book, and hopefully that will be out. Well, it should be out in a year or so. And you know, this is the other thing that I'm thinking is a good thing because about Saturn and Sag, because about the time that book will be coming out, Saturn is going to be stationing again, thank you, on my Saturn. So, but my Saturn is nice. It's nicely aspected. And it's trine Uranus in the sixth house, my Uranus in the sixth. So I think that's going to be a good thing. And let's see. So I'm working on that. I'm working on my books, my sun sign annuals. And I need to do more of those Facebook posts. I just loved doing those. I really did. So I think it's time to bring that back to the crew. Get the crew together. So
I've shared many of your posts there.
Oh yeah. Oh good.
Yes.
Good. Mm. It's a great way to teach, you know, to dress them up and make them do their thing, I think.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. Yeah, because you're. you have one of the best senses of humor stuff of anybody out there, really.
Well, thank you. Yeah, if I post something on my page, it's gonna make you laugh, or it won't be there.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I don't post any silly crap. It's got to be really funny. You know, some of my favorite that I've ever seen was that I don't know if you remember, but it's a woman holding a wine glass, and it says, "Part of me says I can't go on drinking like this." And the other part says, "Don't listen to her, she's drunk." I just, you know, laughter is so important, you know, and so that's what I go to Facebook for laughter and, you know, to read up on other people's astrology and that type thing. But, you know, so. And I got to meet you there, which is very cool.
Yes, that was very glad that we were able to connect there.
Me too. That was nice. That was nice.
Yes. So
how much longer do we have?
We have about a minute and a half, I think. Just over a minute. So I want to thank you for coming on, and I would definitely love to have you back on early next year.
Well, sure. We can do it once a month if you want. I'm game. I'll always talk with you about astrology. It's fun. So,
well, I would love that. I would absolutely love that. That would be great.
Just let me know. Like I say, we'll do it. I'm always game to talk astrology. So, you know, and you are delightful, by the way. Don't be calling yourself a dork anymore. You're a sweetheart. there.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, love.
Another thing I didn't tell you is your birthday is like just like one day off from my dad's, actually.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Same year?
No. Nope.
I was going to say, wow, really? Am I that old? Oh, my God. I'm pretty old, though.
No, you're fine. Yeah, I would absolutely love to have you on. We'll have you on once a month, and we'll go over everything that's going on. And I'll get with you. We'll set up a schedule, and that will be absolutely fantastic.
Yep. And I'll put it up on my Facebook page, and then we'll just chat. It'll be great.
Awesome. Fantastic.
Okay, baby.
Okay, thank you, sweetheart, and we will talk to you soon.
Oh, thank you. This has been delightful. Mwah. Talk to you later.
Mwah. Okay, bye, sweetheart. Bye.
So nice. Sit back and relax and enjoy.
Yep, so we have just one second here. So thank you for listening in. And let's see. It seemed like there was one other we may or may not have a show next week. I have not figured that out yet. But if not, we will be back on January 2nd with my friend Elsa Hermes as our guest, going over some astrology and some symbology. Cannot find the closing sample. Okay, so everyone have a good weekend. Survive the Uranus station, and we will talk to you soon.
Mark, time to return to the ship.